Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Lindsay W., and
Hi,
I
it's Nancy.
am
Can
a
you just say hello?
recovered compulsive overeater in Houston, Texas. Today is Thursday, May 29th, 2025, and today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in the chapter Working with Others, and we are on page 100. The third paragraph. If you have been successful through one paragraph ending worth any amount of criticism, and we are commenting on one paragraph. Today's readers are for the 12 steps, Kelsey C., 12 traditions, Christine G., and our readers of the text will be Elena C. and Lynn S. The reference numbers for yesterday, Wednesday, May 28th, are for the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 22,471. That's 22,471. And then the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22,472. That's 22,472. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose: carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Through Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. We'll now ask Kelsey C. to please read the 12 steps. Good morning, Kelsey.
Good morning. I'm Kelsey C., from a recovered compulsive eater from California. Thank you for letting me be of service. Here are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Kelsey C. And I'll now ask Christine G. to please read the 12 traditions.
Good morning. This is Christine G. in Connecticut, very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and have a beautiful day.
Thank you, Christine G. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on a topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. So today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are in the chapter Working with Others on page 100, the third paragraph, if you have been successful. Through one paragraph ending, worth any amount of criticism. So I will now ask Elena C. to begin reading. Good morning, Elena.
Good morning. My name is Elena C. from South Carolina, recovered for today, but I am currently in Toronto, Canada. So if you have been successful in solving our own domestic problems, tell the newcomer's family how that was accomplished. In this way, you can set them on the right track without becoming critical of them. The story of how you and your wife settled your difficulties is worth any amount of criticism. Okay, so if the paragraph speaks about talking from experience, strength, and hope. Experience, strength, and hope only. And that's what we're doing here, isn't it? We're sharing how this program has helped us, and in this particular situation, in intimate relationships. And I can testify for, if I didn't have God today, and I don't think I could have a relationship with another human being, let alone somebody who might be intimate to me. Because my old way is Elena wants is my will. I'm a person. I used to be a person with strong will. And it's just kind of a one way of thinking. And if you needed to do what you needed to do to make me happy. And that's what I that's who I was. And today, because I have these steps of recovery, I can attest for having a healthy relationship with my Creator, and therefore I can have a healthy relationship with somebody who's an intimate partner. And so, you know, I'm sure my husband will thank you guys all for being here, because I'm learning from all of you. But without this Creator of mine, there was no way I could maintain an intimate relationship. And in the way my brain has been reprogrammed in a way of kind of becoming other person centered, God centered, like thinking of what other person needs are, and being there, holding space with more compassion, not talking as much, but listening to understand, not listening to respond. And these are all values that I can practice in conscious contact with my higher power one day at a time. And I need to wake up every day and take a drop of this spiritual, amazing energy that keeps me going. And I am so grateful for this program, and so grateful for all of it, and so grateful for my precious God, who's keeping me in a relationship with a wonderful man that I didn't think he would have been wonderful otherwise, because you know my will would have taken over. So I guess my advice to this person, or the way I would share my experience, was to, you need to stay saying the steps of recovery. Higher power is the one that's leading, not me. It's the one that's in charge. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Elena C. in South Carolina, for getting us started. And although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day, please, in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share this morning?
Katie G. from Boston.
Linda B. Maine.
Chris G. in Tennessee.
All right, I've got Katie and Lynn. Gotcha, Vasa. So I heard Katie G, Lynn S, and there was someone from Maine. I did not get your name. Who was that?
Lynn
from Maine.
B.
Lynn B. Gotcha.
Thank you.
So I've got Katie G, Lynn S, Lynn B, Chris G, and Vasa O. Is there anybody else that I missed? All right, well, let's start there. So, Katie G, you are up, followed by Lynn S.
Good morning, Lindsay. Thanks for taking the meeting. Katie G, recovered in Boston. You know, I too, when I wake up in the morning, the most important relationship that I'm contending with is my relationship with God, right? Because if my relationship with God is primary, then everybody else gets taken care of. You know, I ask God to be the divine third in my dialogues, etc. But what I would say is, I also make a primary role, a primary purpose of my job every day to be a healthy wife, to be a healthy mommy, because these right now are my biggest employers. And I can tell you, my marriage is not perfect, because my husband is in a relationship with an alcoholic, right? And I'm not cured. I have a daily reprieve. But I can tell you that with frequency, intensity, and duration, my character defects, the woman that used to slam because he wasn't communicating with me, the woman that used to demand, who are you talking to? Who are you meeting with? No, you may not have a female employee over to our house. And the woman who left the marriage with anorexia and exercise bulimia, who stopped showing up and expected him to take ownership of our family, that's not who I am today. You know, if my husband needs me, he comes first. I don't care how important everything else is. My husband needs to come first in my life. And the other thing that I find so helpful, and in making my family a primary, you know, mission in my life, step 10, right? Because step 10 is teaching me 4 through 9 all the time. And one of the things that I've been doing recently is I tell myself the lie that I need my husband to do X, Y, and Z in order for me to be okay, right? I need him to have this kind of relationship with my kids in order for me to be okay. And that's a lie. And once I start telling myself that lie, I tell myself, oh, it's okay for me to go assert that Evan, my husband, I need you to have these boundaries. I need to set these boundaries for you. I need you to do this in order for me to be okay. That's not my job. You know, my husband, my kids, they're God's kids. God created them. There's nothing wrong with them. And my job every day is to meet them where they are. I did not marry a perfect person who is my be-all and end-all. You know who my perfect person is? It's God, right? And because of God, God can enter into my mind and heart in a way that is indeed miraculous. And I'm married to a man that wants to be with me today. With all my warts and all my snot-nosed, messy crying, he chooses to be with me today. And that's a miracle. So hold on to your seats, work the steps, and get with God. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Katie G. in Massachusetts. And then next up is Lynn S., followed by Lynn B. Good morning, Lynn S.
Good morning, Lindsay. Good morning, Vision. This is Lynn S., recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. And this line really speaks to me. The story of how you and your wife settled your difficulties is worth any amount of criticism. And boy, oh boy, when I look back on the 36 years so far in program and how I spoke to people, how I sponsored people, how I just dealt with people, this chapter was definitely working on others as far as I was concerned. And it was all about, I can see what's wrong with you, and this is how you need to change, and I have a list of instructions for you, which aren't even really helpful, but basically they're just criticizing what you're thinking, saying, and doing, and I can set you straight. No charge. Very happy to do it as well. And that wasn't just program people. That was work people. That was family people. And you know, this last relapse in June 2023, when I paid attention to what we were reading, because I was always multitasking, we just have to be on the chapter called Working with Others. Imagine. And I was reading it and hearing it. And the main thing it talked about was being friendly with people, being kind, considerate, compassionate. But really, the whole thing was the story of how I recovered, the story of how the relationship with my mom was in recovery when she passed, loving, caring relationship, and with my dad. And it's connection, not criticism. Connecting with sponsees, with outreach call people, with people in a face-to-face, with people online, with people in the world. Connecting, not criticism. What a huge eye-opener that was for me. And it works so much better. And the main thing, the main thing is, you know, we treat people with kindness and compassion and patience and tolerance, not criticism and straightening everybody out so they all get into shape so that Lynn S. in Toronto can breathe yet through another meeting. I am so grateful that I heard this message when I first came in. It was life changer when I first came in after the relapse. I'm So glad this is where we were. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Lynn S. in Toronto. And then next up, we have Lynn, followed by Chris G. Good morning, Lynn B.
My name is Lynn B. I'm a grateful recovering compulsive eater. Really grateful to be here today. You know, I love this text. This book saved my life. It taught me to be of maximum service to God and the people about me. How do I do that today? By sharing my experience, my strength, my hope. My experience, I came to Overeaters Anonymous at 260 plus pounds in October of 1998, and my life was imploding. I was making $400 a week and couldn't afford my $300 a month rent, and I didn't know about the unmanageability. I came to OA. I got abstinent right away. I believe that was a gift from God, and I released 95 pounds in 10 months. I was 38 years old and strong as a bull. And then my substituted behavior took off. You know, I'm so grateful for a woman in OA who told me that she was an alcoholic who had been sober 7 years, who, I'm trying to look at my timer, who had gained so much weight in recovery that she needed an electric cart to get around the grocery store. And I recognized that I always knew I was an alcoholic waiting to bud. That everybody in my family had a problem with booze. My dad died in a nursing home at 60 years old. And so I was so scared of alcohol that food was my go-to. And when I was trying to diet, then it was compulsive spending or control manipulation. You know, there was always some substance that was going to make Lynn feel better. But they were all lies from my lower power. None of them ever made me feel better except my higher power. So I released that weight. 14 months later, I recognized another behavior. By God's grace, the fellowship, the 12 steps. I've been clean and sober for 25 years, one day at a time. And I deal with chronic pain. And I deal with a husband who is a sober alcoholic, 32 years, who doesn't do what I want him to do when I want him to do it. And if I focus on him, I'm absolutely insane. So about 3 weeks ago, I came back to OA, and my life is amazing again so quickly. I met a woman who has an incredible program. I want what she's got. I'm willing to do what she does. And so instead of getting up at 7 a.m. and sitting in my reclining chair for an hour, going to work at 8 o'clock, being miserable, I get up at 6:30 and I get ready for the day, and I have my abstinent breakfast. And I sit here and I get to listen to you people for an hour. And my life is amazing today. Yesterday was 3 full days of abstinence. And I'm just so grateful to know that if I do today what I did yesterday, today will be day 4. And that's how we gain time in recovery, one day at a time. So I thank you people all for being there for me when I was so desperate. All I can share today
that's time.
Is I can't. Thank you. I love you all. You save my life every day. Thank you. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Lynn B., and I believe you are calling from Maine. And
yeah.
Then next up, perfect. And then next up, we've got Chris G., followed by Vasa O. Good morning, Chris.
Well, good morning, everyone. And thank you for the shares and the lead-in. They make me think of 100 things to say. But I'm going to try to stay to what I was thinking when I hit star one. And so reading the book and going through the steps should change us. And then also going to the meetings, I become a different person. And I think about the person that I was and also being a sponsor is a teacher. It's a teacher-student relationship. You read out of the book and you teach what the book says. So people call the book a textbook is because we're teaching what the book says and we're listening to what the teacher says. So when you're a teacher, you don't tell all about your problems. You talk about what the subject is. And so the sponsor doesn't talk about their own personal problems. They talk about the subject. But I think about before I came to OA, I was married, and I had divorced before I came to OA. And one of the things I did wrong in the marriage was if my husband told me a personal thing, I told everybody. And so he didn't tell me anything personal because I told the whole world. I didn't know how to keep some things private. And when my spouse has a private person tells me things, I would tell everybody. So I don't know if I've gotten over that, but certainly in OA meetings, I don't tell everybody everything. I would be a good service, but not tell everybody everything. So with that, I pass.
Thank you, Chris G. in Tennessee. And next up, we have Vasa O., and then we will take more folks to share. Good morning, Vasa.
Yes, good morning. Thank you for your service, Liz. And I'm Vasa, grateful recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm calling from Foxborough, Massachusetts. So it's Vasa O. I love this paragraph. There was nothing at the beginning when I came to OA to lose the weight. I had the husband, I had the kids, I had the dog, the fence, whatever, you know. And that's all I thought was missing, you know. And I did come for the vanity, and I stayed for the sanity. I was like 41 years old when I came, and I thought I was so old. Well, I'm 80 years old today. Well, May 6th. And I am grateful for the new life I have gotten in the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous, the big book here. I found a higher power. It's not, and to know this is not a religious program, I loved it because it's a spiritual program, because I didn't want anybody else to drag me into their religion, even though I wasn't very active in my religion, and I've gone back now. But anyways, so I lost the weight with 6 months. It is by the grace of God, because I was ready, willing to surrender to God and to get involved in the programs. And no matter what was going in my life, I would stay abstinent one day, 1 minute of the day, and which was very hard, but I kept on praying and I kept being active. Well, when I lost the weight, I was going to go look for a new husband. I felt good about my body. I was getting a lot of attention. People told me I looked like a Barbie. Well, yeah, this was, and then my sponsor said, well, you know, I can only guide you up to my level, my experience. Maybe you need to go and get outside help. And I went to counseling, and he said, what's bringing you here? Well, I said, you know, my husband. And, oh, my goodness, I went to a counselor that was divorced from his wife. I thought then he would understand what my problem was. And it turned out that this counselor brought me back to my marriage. He said to me after so many years, he shared his own experience. He said, if my wife ever takes me back, I would run to her. But I have hurt her so much and my children, I know she'll never want to come back. And that was like, I was doing the same thing, looking for that happiness outside from my marriage. My husband didn't want me to come to the program because I started changing. And now he reminds me, don't forget your meeting today. And my relationship, my marriage is so different than I don't want to change my husband. He's the person the way he is. And I share my own experience. Please don't go out and get divorced right away. My sponsor said, stay in the marriage for a whole year before you decide what you're going to do, work on yourself and the program. Thank you very much. And that's my story.
Thank you, Vasa O. in Massachusetts. And before we take another list of people to share, I will just remind everyone where we are this morning. So we are in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter Working with Others, page 100, the third paragraph. If you have been successful through one paragraph ending, worth any amount of criticism. So who else would like to share this morning?
This is Janice P.M.
So Janice?
Janice, yes.
Yep, I gotcha.
Thank you.
Who else?
Shanna C., Tennessee.
Gotcha.
We have lots of more time, so who else would like to share?
Did you hear Shanna C. from Tennessee?
We did, yep. I've got Janice P.M. and Shanna C.
Okay.
Thanks.
Anita G. Brooke K. from Toronto, Canada.
Anita, gotcha, Bruja. I heard someone else in there. Anyone else
Christine
want to get
G
in on this
Connecticut?
Group? Gotcha.
Christine G. in Connecticut.
Gotcha, Christine. All right. Here's who I have. Janice P.M., Shanna C., Anita J., Bruja K., Christine G. So let's get started with Janice P.M.
Well, thank you so much, Lindsay. W for your service. My name is Janice P.M. from Massachusetts, and I'm a grateful, I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater living in Massachusetts. Okay, if it says here, if you've been successful in solving domestic problems. Now, if you never had domestic problems, and wasn't successful, you really can't share. You know, I have been successful, not through my will, but through the grace of God, because it's not my success, because I could not solve my problems before. No way. I tried all kinds of methods. And, of course, my past, my compulsive overeating behaviors in foods, of course, proved to be my past, the best solution for somebody else. Because see, that's what I'm going to share, is how my problems were solved in the practical program of action, true in their promises. And boy, when I came in, I heard people like you, you know, how, you know, you and your husband, you and your child, you and money, you and this and all that. And, you know, I identified with that. But see, I had been in recovery and recovered, so I can tell the truth and we can tell the truth of the actions and how I was in the past and how I am now. And, you know, Henry Ford said that experience is the thing of supreme value in life. And if it wasn't for you and for God's grace through you people that showed me, yeah, there's hope here. I was going to get divorced after 5 years of marriage because, oh, boy, I got pregnant right away. I wasn't going to go through this. And I can remember my first sponsor saying, oh, no, you don't have to say that about getting divorced just yet. You know, and I said, oh, but she doesn't understand. But, you know, I got to understand whose problem it really was. And my experience of the past with my actions in my battleground home turned out to be naturally, we'll still have problems. But it reminded me again that, you know, the dark past of my experience is the greatest possession that I have a key to life. And this is from the big book. It's not me. I've got the key to life by starting and making an asset out of a death situation, because that's what happened to me. I can tell
that's
you
time.
Anything. Yeah, thank you so much. So that's all I want to share, is giving hope of my past experience to somebody new so that they can see that there is hope.
believe you me, and I was married for 60 years. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Janice PM in Massachusetts. Next up is Shanna C, followed by Anita J. Good morning, Shanna.
Good morning, Lindsay, and everyone on the line. I can identify so much with what everyone has said. This is Shanna C., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from Tennessee through God's grace and mercy. And just to keep it really simple, thank you, God. How my domestic problems have been solved is getting to that point where I was beaten into a state of reasonableness and willing to admit that I'm wrong. It's just that simple. You know, when it comes to problems in relationships of any kind, it's how long am I willing to hurt before I'm willing to realize that I'm probably wrong about something, or I've made an assumption, or I have something, you know, wrong with me that's causing the disturbance. That's it. And it's through the safety and grace of these steps and the examples of the people who have gotten well, regardless of anyone, has given me the hope to surrender to a power greater than me that's going to love me even though I'm wrong. Because most of my faith depended on the thought that I needed to be right and self-sufficient to be okay. And in taking inventory and seeing where I'm wrong, it doesn't mean I'm bad. It just means I'm wrong. And acting in fear, I act selfishly. And being selfish, I act in fear. And I don't realize that there's a power greater than me that is in me that is unconditional love and loves the people around me more than I do. And it actually enables me to make the connections that I desperately crave, that I really want from the bottom of my heart, but don't know how to do it because my brain gets in the way. So that story for me is, you know, thank you, God, that early on in recovery, for me especially, I learned what not to do. And one of the things that I did, even though it was super important to put my recovery first and get through the steps and all of the things, I had to be really careful, and it was pointed out that I was actually using the program to avoid family responsibility. And that almost led to the demise of my marriage, but through the grace of God. So now, thankfully, we get to practice these principles in all our affairs, utmost importance, you know. And then, of course, carrying the message to the compulsive eater who still suffers, you know, and then practicing these principles in all my affairs, you know. And so that is part of step 12. So anyway, grateful for everyone on the line and grateful I get to be here another day. And living in God's grace and mercy. That's it. Thanks.
Thank you, Shanna C. in Tennessee. And then next up is Anita J., followed by... Good morning, Anita.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service this morning. My name is Anita J., and I'm living west of Boston, Massachusetts. Things about the family, familia. This is where, if I'm truly working this program, it's going to show up. But I think when I look back, I first learned how to be kind with people in a meeting. Because I remember at first sitting there. And in those days, you got up and walked to the front of the room. And inside me, I've got this eternal criticism going. How can she be so, you know, this and that and blah, blah, blah. And then I realized that's how you are. That's you. And that it doesn't happen just in here. In here, you better learn how to be one among many. And listening to what other people have to say. Maybe they're going to teach you something, which, believe it or not, they did. And, you know, I don't think I'd have a family. You know, my husband now has been dead. It's hard to believe it. because we were married in 1960. Mr. Wright, you know Mr. Wright? Did you have one? Well, Mr. Wright didn't do a damn thing I wanted. And the program saved my marriage. And it taught me how to be a wife. It took a while. It took a while to be part of a partnership. Partnership. Two people. And that's just one of the things. I mean, my two children and I are going to a funeral tomorrow of an old, old friend. A couple, you know, and the husband now has passed. And we're going as a family to stand there and offer support to my oldest friend in Massachusetts. And I don't know, it's just, we're here together, a family, you're here together in difficulties and in good times. And, you know, you can't have the one without the other. And it's all right today. It's all right. And I thank you all because all this wisdom came from first attending meetings, now dialing into meetings. It's that's how it's happened. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Anita J. in Massachusetts. Next up is Brutha K., followed by Christine G.
Hi, everybody. I'm Brutha, compulsive overeater, recovering by the grace of God. I came into this program 50 years ago. I was a mother of three boys under the age of five, and I was going crazy. Within a six-month period, I went from a size 10 to a size 20 and was well over 200 pounds, and I was desperate. So I called the only person I knew who had a weight problem, and I told her, I thought I was being profound. I said, I wish there was something for food as there is for alcohol, and she said, there is. Meet me at 7:45 in front of the church. And she told me the name of the church, and the address was 5 minutes away from my home. So that was my first mini experience of a spiritual feeling. Anyhow, I started working the program like the dying, because I was so desperate, and my family was so dysfunctional. I grew up blaming myself for everything. I had a bad experience. The janitor of where I was taking arts and crafts exposed himself. The police came. It was a mess, and I blamed myself. So I've had that character defect all my life. And thank God, by the grace of God, I don't have that today. So I got a sponsor the first night I came, and she was very spiritual, and she was committed to working the steps, and she had a horrific, she shared her story, which was horrific, and she gave me hope. I had no trouble taking step one because I was totally unmanageable, and I knew I was crazy, but I had a problem with step two. Because both my parents are survivors, they've lost children, and I thought, how is this God when he wasn't there during the Holocaust? Well, my sponsor said to me, you better act as if. So she told me to make a list of all the things I wanted my higher power to be, and that started my journey of working through the steps. I was very committed to 12-step work, and it was kept me sane, and I'm so grateful. But in the beginning, OA was my life, and God was my life, and I was able to experience recovery. Well, I recovered all right, but then I thought, oh, who needs OA anymore?
Time.
Okay. I'm just grateful I'm back, and I pass.
Thank you, Bruja K. And then next up is Christine G. And then we'll take another list of folks to share. Good morning, Christine.
Good morning, everyone. This is Christine G. in Connecticut. Very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. And as a recovered compulsive overeater, I am still quite flawed, go figure. And so when I try to carry a message of experience, strength, and hope, and not criticism, I need to, and Shanna, thanks for mentioning it, because I wanted to talk about the principles, right? I can refer to the principles to learn to discern what is the difference between criticism and sharing experience, strength, and hope. Because myself, as well as I'm sure other people on these lines, have, you know, sometimes shared with an air of criticism and, you know, to people who maybe, you know, in the moment, you know, I'm in one of my character defects and I think I'm sharing experience, strength, and hope, but I'm actually sharing a criticism, telling people they're wrong for thinking this way or doing it that way or whatever it is. So the principles are honesty, hope, surrender, courage, integrity, willingness, humility, love, responsibility, discipline, awareness, and service. And I try to choose my words very carefully because I don't have control over how people hear my words. You know, somebody might hear criticism and another person may not. So I'm powerless over that. But the practice of humility and carrying a message and carrying my experience, strength, and hope. In the past, I was able to cover my experience, strength, and hope or cover up my criticism with the thought that I was carrying, you know, sharing experience, strength, and hope. And I, you know, so today I try to walk with a great deal of humility. It doesn't mean I sugarcoat anything, but it, you know, it just, all I can share is what I've been given and to do it with a sense of love and understanding for others. And everybody has their journey, not to pacify and, you know, enable, but to combine these principles, humility and honesty, in a loving way. That's how I can be of service. And thank you for allowing me to share.
Thank you, Christine G. in Connecticut. And we have time for at least two and probably three more shares. So who else would like to share this morning?
Donna, well, Sam.
Michaela B.
I got your Russ. I got Michaela. And did I hear a Dawn?
Donna.
Miriam J.
Great. All right. I think we've got our three, Russ M., Michaela B., and Dawn S. So, Russ, we will get started with you.
All right. Thank you, Lindsay. I appreciate it. Russ M., recovered compulsive overeater outside of Philly. So the domestic problem, yeah, I definitely came in with that. And, you know, that's up and down in life because we're human beings and things are not going to be perfect. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, now that I'm Mr. Recovery, Captain Recovery over here, I have a nice big nose that I can look down at people on that how they're not living their life right. And it does get in the middle of my wife and I, and someone mentioned humility. And that's the key. You know, shutting my mouth, staying in my lane, and serving and helping another person. It's not my business. My wife, my kids, they don't have a program right now. I'm the one. I got to look in the mirror. I have to keep developing, perfecting, enlarging, and just digging in deep into my spiritual life to grow. So when things just ain't going my way, I don't react. Because when I was in the food, I'm putting people on blast. Am I supposed to still do that? Am I supposed to still live like a maniac and bulldoze people now that I'm clean? What's the difference? It's the same damage. Might even be worse, because now I'm supposed to have my head on my shoulders and know what I'm doing, and I'm building trust and then ripping it down again, destroying it again. So this, I'm just a human being when it comes to sponsees, when it comes to life, and I can never forget the junkie that I am, the person that I am, where I came from. I have no expertise. I have zero track record. I have nothing that makes me stand on a moral high ground or moral high horse to blast someone. I just got to recover. I know it's cliche, but that's the only way I'm going to, Russ, live a life that honors God and honors the people around me. So thank you for letting me share. I appreciate this meeting, and everybody does service.
Thank you, Russ M. in Pennsylvania. Next up is Michaela B., followed by Don S. Good morning, Michaela.
Hi. This is Michaela B. in Maryland. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Hi. This is Michaela B., recovered compulsive overeater. Love that this is the topic this morning, and this is one of those signs that reinforces that my higher power is working in my life, because this is exactly what I needed to hear this morning, because this is exactly what I'm going through at the moment, domestic troubles. I've been married 20 years, and my husband and I are going through it at the moment, and I really appreciate everyone's share. I'm just so grateful for everyone who's on the meeting this morning and he's sharing, and I really appreciate everything that everyone said. It's really been helpful for me. I just can't help but wonder, and like I said, I've been married for 20 years, and I hope it's okay if I ask this. I just can't help but wonder if anyone's had the experience that the solving of their domestic problems was actually having the strength to leave an unhealthy relationship rather than to stay in the marriage. I don't know. I guess I just wanted to put that out there. I know that, you know, I've had the experience, you know, where my perspective has shifted, being in and out of recovery over the years. And, I've had that experience where my perspective has shifted, my thinking, and I've seen my husband in different lights, and seen relationship in different lights. But, sometimes I think, you can see the good in people, but if you're living the principles, and you're living in your truth and honesty and your humility, and you're accepting the person for who they are and not what you want them to be, maybe sometimes you just have to admit that if you're being your own authentic self and you're going to let them be their own authentic self, sometimes the best thing maybe might be to just go your separate ways. I don't know. I'm just going to put that out there. Maybe I just needed to rant. I'll leave it there. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Michaela B. in Maryland. And then Don S., we have time for a two-minute share. Would you like to take us out this morning?
Yes, I would. Can I be heard?
Yes, we can hear you.
I believe you heard Donna M. I'm Donna M. from Ontario, Canada. And today, I am married for 42 years and been recovered for 5 years. And in that period of recovery, I believe that we have solved our marital issues. You know, I transitioned from a compulsive overeater to a compulsive overeater 6 months after I got married. And 8 years after that, I came into OA. And in OA, I spent 29 years in an unrecovered state. state in and out, and I blamed my husband. And I spent my time doing inventories, doing step 10s, just to show you how wrong, how much of a victim I had been. Poor me. So during the past 5 years that I've been recovered, what I have learned is that I needed to look at myself and what I was doing. You know, I thought I had married this wonderful person that everybody loves, and I thought that they were somehow blind, that they couldn't see his faults. And today, there's a story in the big book, I don't remember the name of it, but it talks about us being given a new pair of lenses to see, or maybe it's a speaker, to see the wonderful qualities of my husband. And today, I do see those wonderful qualities. And I also see where I have been dishonest, where I didn't speak up and set my boundaries when I needed
that
to.
Time.
And I've seen my controlling ways, and I'm glad to have let that go. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much, Donna N. in Ontario. And thank you to everyone who shared. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following the closing. The share ID for today, Thursday, May 29th, is 22,478. That's 22478. And we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Lynn S. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.